In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
There's a lot that goes on today. A star, magi, foreigners, probably astrologers from the east, Herod's disturbance, all Jerusalem being troubled with Herod. Finally, the word of God directing the magi where they need to be, in the presence of Christ, in a little town called Bethlehem. These great seers bow their knees before a little child and present him with gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There's a lot of events that happen on this Epiphany of our Lord. But we rightly call it the Epiphany of our Lord because Epiphany means to be revealed, to be made manifest. And so today is about him. It is very easy to get caught up in those events in the externals and to forget that the star, the magi, Herod's disturbance, and the gifts are all important only because they reveal Jesus as the Christ. First, the magi. The magi reveal Jesus as the Savior of all nations, as the scripture says. The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. They were probably Persian or Babylonian, but frankly, it doesn't matter. What matters is they weren't Jews. They were cut off from the people of God, separated from the nation of Israel, barred from entering the temple. And yet this Christ child is born for them. He is their king, their God, their Lord. No circumcision was needed. No sacrifices on the Temple Mount were needed. No keeping of the law was needed. Faith in this child was it. He is king of the Jews, yet he has come to be a blessing to every nation. So they don't become Jews. They aren't circumcised. They don't get redirected to the temple. For in Christ there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. But a new nation. A new holy people of God. A new country. The new holy and Christian church. This is the mystery that Paul was speaking about to the Ephesians when he said, "It has been clearly made known to the apostles that the Gentiles, through faith, would enter the holy Christian church and be sharers together with Israel in the great promises of God." Now, that's not to say the Jews in the Old Testament didn't know the Gentiles would be saved. Isaiah clearly had said the Gentiles will hope in him. And the promise given to Abraham 2,000 years ago included, "Through you, your seed, all nations on earth will be blessed." Rahab wasn't a Jew, yet she was saved. Ruth wasn't a Jew, yet she was also saved, and both are in the line of the Savior to boot. And yet they were Old Testament believers, so they still submitted to the law of Israel. They were believers, but in the Old Testament covenant. Yet here come the Magi. They do not submit to the Old Testament covenant because the shadows have now given way to the reality, which is Christ. And so even the very physical nation of Israel gives way to Christ. So men and women, foreigners and Jews, all enter into the holy Christian church through one way, through faith in Christ. Even an ethnic Jew no longer goes through Israel. He goes through faith in this Son of Mary. So faith moved the Magi to come. They offer no blood sacrifices, for the presence of God has moved from the temple to the flesh of Christ. They do not submit to circumcision, for their hearts are already circumcised by faith. They are heirs together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the glorious promises of God. They are brothers with the prophets. They are not second-class citizens, but they are co-heirs of all things. The Savior born in Bethlehem is of the Jews, but he is for all nations. Though our ancestors are Gentiles, and though we ourselves are sinners, we are not cut off from the people of God. But through faith, we are bold to approach the throne of God with freedom and confidence, because this Christ child is for us. A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now the star. The star reveals that Jesus is the light of the world. Light always scatters darkness. Darkness never scatters the light. The light shines in the darkness of a pagan nation, and these foreigners are brought to Christ. He who called the starry hosts out one by one and gave them each a name now gives a new star announcing his birth. At one time he led Israel by a pillar of cloud by day, and by night gave them a pillar of light. Now he guides them by the way of his flesh, for his flesh is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. From eternity he was light, but now that light beams personally from his flesh. To follow the flesh of Christ is to follow the light of the world. To know Christ is to know the light of the world. To not know Christ, then, is to walk around in darkness, hoping beyond all hope that you're headed in the right direction. So the star reveals Jesus as the light of the world, that great morning star who rises to scatter the darkness of sin and unbelief and death on Easter morning. Healing fills his rays. His wings carry light to every nation on earth. And he has illumined your heart through faith. Once you were in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. So let us live as children of light. Herod's disturbance reveals that Jesus is the King of the Jews. A great battle is about to take place. The Son of God, or the Son of David, has come to reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So Satan should be disturbed that the king is born, for he has come to take back what is rightfully his. Jerusalem sides with the impostor king Herod, for from the days of Adam, man has been in constant rebellion against God. And so now the devil will ratchet up his attacks. He'll try to kill him with Herod's sword. He will tempt him to turn stones into bread. He will use others to deceive and to lie, to try to trap Jesus in his own words. Finally, he will hang him on a cross. Frantically, the devil searched for some way to defeat this king, but to no avail. For in death, the victory is won. In death, Satan himself is defeated. In death, the Jews are set free. The Gentiles are set free. You are now set free. So no sin can condemn you. No accuser can stand before God to accuse you of any wrongdoing. No tempter can hinder you. Your King and God and Lord stands at God's right hand. All your enemies are defeated. Not just sin and death and the devil, but all your enemies, the greatest to the least, have all been defeated by this king. So these little skirmishes that you still face of disease and suffering and sickness, common colds, the bigger skirmishes of cancer, loss of life, in these things you are still more than conquerors. You are great and mighty warriors in Christ, because Christ your King leads the way. Let nothing move you from Christ. Let nothing hinder you or burden you. Let nothing make you feel guilty or ashamed. For in Christ you have overcome all things. Finally, the Magi's gifts reveal Jesus as the Christ. Gold, because he is God. The whole inside of the temple, from the floors to the walls to the ceiling, was covered in pure gold. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And so we give to him our best, not simply what is adequate. We give to him our best because it's all his anyways. He is our king. Frankincense, because he is God. Frankincense was mixed with the sacrifices of the temple to make them a pleasing aroma to God. It was burned on the altar of incense to hide the presence of God when Moses or the high priest entered the Holy of Holies. This child is God, even as he scurries to the arms of his mother. Myrrh, because he is the sacrifice. Nicodemus will bring 75 pounds of myrrh and aloes to wrap his body in. So myrrh is the smell of death. And yet it is now the smell of life, for he who has died now lives. So as we gaze upon him on the cross, we do not see death, but we see life. We see victory. We see his life and our life in him. Now, how much of this the Magi understood, we don't know, probably very little. But it is finally the word of God that revealed him most clearly to those ancient seers. The word of God directed him to Bethlehem, the town of David, for he is the son of David, come to rule over all Israel. And it is the word of God that most clearly reveals him to you and to me. None of this would make sense apart from the word of God. The scriptures give meaning and substance. The scriptures direct men to Christ. So do not feel sorry for yourself that you don't see special stars or men carrying gifts before a child. You have something more certain and more sure, and you would do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in the darkness. It is the word of God, directing you to where the Christ is now present for you, to this holy altar. Here you come bringing your sacrifices, your gifts, a little part of yourself, for all that you have and all that you are is already his. He is your king, your God, and your sacrifice. And yet now he lives in glory. So he doesn't just simply receive what you give, but he turns around and gives you his eternal gifts. He gives you life. He gives you salvation. He gives you an eternity with him. And so today is our Lord's Epiphany. Today he is revealed by stars, by magi, by Herod's disturbance. Today he is revealed by the gifts, but chiefly he is revealed by the word of God. And that is how you still know him. For by that word you come to know Christ your Savior. By that word you believe this child is for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.